Welcome to the Fantasy Football Coaches Podcast. This is your host, Coach Skiles.
And Coach Dylan.
All right, we have a great show for you today. The sleepers and busts. The guys you can get in the late rounds that can help you win your leagues. And the guys you need to avoid so you don't lose your leagues.
Oh yeah, this is always one of my favorite times discussing sleepers and busts. Because this really makes your draft. This makes your league. This is the difference between first place and not even making the playoffs.
Yep. And you know what I would suggest for listeners to do? Use our bus list and, you know, talk to your friends in your league. Blow some smoke up their butts and tell them, hey, look at these sleepers I've been hearing about. You know, and brag about them, bring them up, and let these guys draft the bus that we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And also, if you have any questions during any of the podcasts, we have email address. Just email us at fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com. So that's fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com. And if you email us, we'll email you back as quickly as possible. And also, we'll throw in our whole list of 2015 NFL draft rankings and positional rankings. So go ahead and email us. If you're not into email, also tweet us. We have a Twitter. It's @_fantasycoaches. So @_fantasycoaches.
Coaches is plural. C-O-A-C-H-E-S @_fantasycoaches. We will try to reply to every single tweet, and we will reply to every single email. It's fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com. Let's get on to the news and notes.
All right, yeah, news and notes. Let's just start off. There's been a lot of injuries already this offseason.
Like Dez Bryant's face.
Yeah, he did get punched right in the face by the Rams. And
are you moving him down your draft boards? Are you afraid that he's going to get punched in the face more this season? He's an injury risk.
Am I afraid that he's going to get punched in the face so hard that he misses games?
It's possible.
I don't believe he has...
He's a trash talker. All he does is talk trash.
I don't believe his jaw is as weak as Geno Smith's, so I feel like he's going to be okay, and he's going to sit right there where he is in our draft rankings.
Okay. Yeah. You can't pass up that talent.
That is true, but could you pass up on Cam Newton after this Kelvin Benjamin injury? What does it do to his draft status?
Nice transition. I would stay away from Cam Newton. Well, I'm going to say stay away, but I'm going to drop him. I'm going to drop him about 3 or 4 spots now. Probably below Tony Romo and Eli Manning, right after him. So maybe number 13 or 14 quarterback now. So with him missing, I would expect him to rush more, maybe a couple more rushing touchdowns, but his pass yardage is going to drop, and his passing touchdowns are going to drop significantly.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with you. Earlier today, I was watching the NFL Network Fantasy Live episode, and they said that Cam Newton was going to be the 3rd overall quarterback in fantasy this year.
Garbage. That's why you need to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
I'm not going to give you garbage rankings like that. Come on.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're basing that on his rushing numbers, and that's the number one thing you cannot base quarterbacks on, their rushing numbers. Their touchdowns and their overall yards change from year in and year out.
It's almost unpredictable.
Yeah, and so, I mean, yes, like you said, he lost Kelvin Benjamin, his number one red zone threat, his number one receiver, and so that's definitely going to hurt him.
His number one receiver is Devin Funchess right now. He's a rookie. Then he has Boykin and Cotry right behind him. I'm not confident in those receiver corps. That's probably the worst receiver corps in the NFL right now if you take away Benjamin.
I completely agree with you. It's terrible.
Are you drafting Funchess earlier now?
Not at all. I'm leaving him right where he is, undrafted.
Undrafted?
Because I'm not going to take a chance on a rookie who is pretty much a tweener. He's not fast enough to be a wide receiver, and he's not big enough to be a tight end. And he's not even that good of a route runner. His hands are terrible. He dropped a lot of passes in college. I'm staying completely away from Funchess.
I think if you're doing a dynasty league, he's worth a flyer. I'd definitely pick him up in a dynasty league later on in drafts. But if you're in a deeper league, 14 teams, maybe 16 teams, if you even go that far, I think he's worth the last round. Just second to last round flyer. I mean, why not? I mean, somebody has to catch targets out there. Someone has to catch at least, I mean, I would think he would throw 3,000 yards, you know, minimum, maybe 3,300 is his max. So I would think it has to go to somebody. Is it going to go to Boykin? Is it going to go to Cotry?
Okay, I can see you there. I can see 14 or 16 team league, but in a 10 or 12, I'm staying away from him.
Yeah.
And I really think the Carolina Panthers are going to go out and get a free agent wide receiver such as Wes Welker,
Reggie Wayne,
and
it's a possibility.
One of them, if they went to the Carolina Panthers, I would draft them over Devin Funchess.
Oh yeah, if Reggie Wayne goes there, I mean he's old and slow, but still possession receiver. I can see him catching 80 balls, 75 balls there. So let's go ahead and move on to McCoy. Are you have any concerns with his hamstring?
None at all for LeSean McCoy. And I'm going to tell you why. This guy he's been through nicks for the whole past five seasons. And during those five seasons, he's been the number one running back in rushing yards with over 6,000. He's been tied for first with the number of touches with over 1,500. And he's had 40 rushing touchdowns in the past five seasons. And that's dealing with nicks and stuff like that. And so I'm not worried about McCoy at all. He's moving to an offense that wants him to run the ball. And it's going to give him another 300-plus touches this season. I'm not worried about that hamstring injury. I feel he's going to get a lot more goal line touches in that offense that he did not get in Philadelphia. So I'm not worried.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to draft him just at the same spot. I'm looking to get him at the end of the first. And apparently, since that injury, he's going average first pick in the second round. And if I can get him in the second round, I'm going to take him every time.
Yeah, same here. Couldn't agree more.
I don't think he's a top five pick, obviously, but I think he's in the 11-12 range for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
About this, McCoy or Forsett?
I'm going to go McCoy every time.
Me too. All right, let's move on. What about Arian Foster? Okay, obviously he's going to be out for at least six weeks, apparently, we're hearing. What do you think about the Texans' offense now?
I didn't like him. I didn't like the offense when Foster was there. I definitely don't like him when Foster's out. And I'm going to tell you why. Foster, sure, he's a stud when he plays. But that's when he plays. Apparently, he came into the camp with the best shape of his life, and he's already tore his hamstring or his groin. And so, I mean, I'm staying away from those backup running backs as well, Blue, Grimes, and Polk. And it's because it's going to be a committee approach. No matter, even if Blue is the presumed starter and he starts week one, I don't see him getting any more than 15 carries that game.
I'm going to disagree with you. I saw Alfred Blue play week one, and I thought he looked great. Besides those goal line carries, I thought Blue looks good, and I'm going to look to pick him up, 7th, 8th round if he's there for sure. It's great value for a starting running back. I mean, will Polk get some third down carries? Oh, yeah, for sure, but I still think if Blue proves himself to be worthy, he can sneak in some more of those third downs, and I'm looking to snatch Blue up. He's actually one of my sleepers, so I think it'd be good, actually.
Okay, so
I think it hurts Hopkins some.
I don't think it hurts Hopkins. I don't think it helps him. I still think that quarterback play is going to have to be consistent. And so I'm still drafting Hopkins where he's at right now. But with going back to Blue, I'm staying away from him because I'm not going to waste a 7th or 8th round pick on a running back I can only have for maybe half the season, for maybe 6 or 7 weeks. I'm not going to waste that pick when I can get maybe a third string wideout or a good backup quarterback or even a quarterback, my first quarterback in general.
Okay. What about are you going to draft Arian Foster at all? Because look, if the guy plays four games, let's just say he plays four games or two games, those four or two games are going to be extremely valuable at the end of the season. You don't have a starting running back at the end of the season. Would you draft him late round?
Oh, yes, of course. No question about it. But it would have to be late round. He'd have to be at the 11th or 12th round for me to grab him, and he probably will not be there at that time. But that's where I would pick him and stash him in my IR spot. If you don't have an IR spot, I would still pick him up. But like I said, I wouldn't touch him until the 11th round because Josh Gordon, whenever he was suspended, he came in for the last like five games of the year, and he ended up winning some people some fantasy championships. And so Foster is a much better running back, and so or a fantasy scorer there is, and so I would draft and stash Foster in the late rounds.
Yeah, I definitely would, especially if you have an IR spot. I would snatch him up. I think he's gonna pay off at the end of the season for sure. So let's go ahead and let's move on to our next segment, the sleepers, everybody's favorite.
Oh yeah, I get so excited this time talking about our sleepers. And
like Tim Tebow over there. You excited?
I am. I'm very excited. Tebow scored a touchdown in the first preseason game, if you didn't see it.
I did see that. That's why I have a lot of faith in Chip Kelly's offense. If Tim Tebow can score a touchdown in there, then I'm pretty sure Sam Bradford can score 20.
Oh, is that your sleeper for quarterback?
Yes, actually it is. But let's start off with that. My first sleeper for QB, let's go over QB positions first, is Sam Bradford. I'm all in on this Chip Kelly offense. I'm all in Jordan Matthews, and I think Sam Bradford, from where he's getting drafted, the value is great. Now, I'm not going to reach for Sam Bradford, but if we see Sam Bradford in the 10th round, I'm going to take him for sure because I think he's a deep sleeper, especially if you're waiting on quarterback. And let's say you get maybe Colin Kaepernick later or maybe a Teddy Bridgewater. I'm also going to pair him up with Sam Bradford for sure. And I think he's going to exceed people's expectations this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you with Sam Bradford. That Chip Kelly system is favorable towards quarterbacks. I mean, Mark Sanchez was even a favorable quarterback too last season in the time that he played. I mean, this is Nick Foles threw 27 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions in that offense. And so, I mean, I really feel like Bradford, who's a much better quarterback than Nick Foles, can succeed in that offense. The question is, he just has to stay healthy.
Okay, what about your QB sleeper?
Okay, for me, I'm going to go for my mid-round quarterback sleeper. It's going to be Eli Manning.
Okay,
so ESPN currently has 11 different quarterbacks going before Manning.
Yeah.
And he'll finish top 7 this year.
Top 7. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. He has the best weapons of his life. He has Odell Beckham Jr. coming back.
He's a beast.
Yes. He has Victor Cruz returning. And Victor Cruz is a receiver who had 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns in one season. That's not someone that you just, you know, blow off. He's going to be a huge weapon for Eli Manning, especially in that slot, because Odell Beckham's going to carry over the top. And you also have Larry Donnell, a security blanket tight end. He has the best weapons of his life.
So if he's a sleeper, then I'm guessing you're putting Donnell higher up in your boards, Victor Cruz higher up in your boards.
I'm definitely putting them higher in my boards. Donnell, still, I don't know if I would draft him per se, but Victor Cruz, definitely I would draft. He's going to be a huge risk player this year, but he's going to give you a lot of reward.
Is Eli Manning going to be able to stand up? I mean, is he going to be getting sacked every three passing plays?
Well, with the Ben McAdoo system, this is Eli's second year in the system, and Ben McAdoo gave him the highest completion percentage of his life. He told Eli pretty much dink and dunk, and that's exactly what Eli's going to do to keep from getting sacked. He's going to do those quick passes, let Odell Beckham, let Victor Cruz run in space. Oh, not to mention, he just got Shane Vereen, one of the best pass catchers out of the backfield. Yeah. So I'm very excited about Eli this year. He had his highest completion percentage and his lowest interception total, considering he threw the ball 600 times last year, the most in his career.
Yeah. Well, I'm high on Eli Manning, too. He's going 8th round right now. I would think I wouldn't go any farther than 7th, but I don't think he'll be the number 7 overall QB, but I can see him top 10 for sure. Maybe I can see him being better than Matthew Stafford, who's currently going number 7 quarterback most leagues.
I'm
going
to tell everyone right now, draft Eli over people like Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill this year. He will reward you.
I can see it. I mean, if Victor Cruz is 100%, and from what we're hearing in those practices, he is, and Victor Cruz said it himself, he's 100%. Then Eli might have a really, really good year. If you have Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz playing like that, and maybe Reuben Randall quit messing around and actually play some ball, he'll have a great receiver corpse. And like you said, Vereen's going to be extremely helpful in that backfield. So yeah. I think Eli Manning could have maybe his second best season ever. But top 7, I don't know. I could see him in 8. I won't go any farther than 8.
Okay.
But still good value for where you're getting him at. So let's move on to our running backs. Let's go our running back sleepers. Who do you have for your sleepers at running back?
Okay, at running back, I have, Doug Martin. And
Dougie Fresh.
Current 34th running back going off the board. You got to remember, this is a guy who came into the league, rushed for 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns. And so he has 2 bad years back-to-back, and everyone just throws him away. But this guy is going to go from a bust to a stud once again. He'll put himself back on a fantasy radar this season. I mean, I'm sure it's good. We keep hearing great reviews about him at camp. But the main reason he's a big sleeper for me this year is the situation he's in. The Bucs really don't have any bruiser backs, so all the touchdowns are going to go to Martin.
You think so?
Yeah, and mix that with the Twin Tower receiving corps, and defenses cannot stack the box. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get the 1,400-yard Doug Martin of his rookie season, but I think Martin's a safe bet to get about 1,100 rushing yards and maybe 8 to 10 scores, which will be enough for him to finish in the top 22 of halfbacks, which is about four rounds earlier than you're getting him at. Look for Martin to finish above names such as Joik Bell, Gio Bernard, running backs around that level.
Well, he's going, what, number 32 right now? 32 running back. What about... See, look, I have no faith in James Winston at all. I think he's going to be a complete flop. Not Jamarcus Russell-style flop, but I think he's going to be just garbage and not be very good. So I think, you know, by week one and two, people are going to realize, let's just stack the box because this guy Winston can only throw the deep ball. So, you know, cover the deep ball and stack the box on Doug Martin and you're fine. So I mean, I think he's going to be the number one guy there, but I don't see him having a huge season. Maybe 1,000 yards, 900 yards, and what, 5-6 touchdowns. And you have Chris Sims back there. Is it Sims?
Yeah, it's Sims. It's yeah. Sims. But, yeah, I definitely don't see Sims having a good year. I don't see him taking much from Martin unless Martin gets hurt. Lovie Smith wants that cowbell back, and Martin's going to give it to him unless he gets hurt. So I'm not worried about Sims this season.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on to my sleeper running back, and that is LaMarcus Blount. Okay. Or Blunt, however you want to say it.
LeGarrette.
That's what I call him. Marcus?
You call him LaMarcus.
LaMarcus.
Thinking basketball over here.
LaMarcus, Jamarcus, Russell. I get him mixed up. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Okay, so Blount. However you pronounce it. I actually never knew. How does he go? What is it?
It's both. It doesn't matter. It's tomato. It's tomato.
French. It's French. Yeah. Anyway, so I see him as my sleeper. A lot of beat writers over there saying he's catching a lot of passes in practice. He's looking a lot better and more focused than he's ever been. He was really mature. Got caught with the weed last year, with 2 years ago with Pittsburgh, I believe.
Yeah.
But apparently he's maturing. He's in a Bill Belichick system for 2 years now. Maybe he's learning from the veterans there. But I think LaMarcus, why do I keep calling the guy LaMarcus? I think Blount is going to be a very good running back and surprise a lot of people. What do you think about him? I mean, yeah. He's currently going round 5. I think that's the right spot. I'm not going to reach for the guy, but I think he's going to outproduce where he's getting drafted. I think he's going to be pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, me personally, I'm going to stay away from him just because that Patriots running back system. Last year, Jonas Gray came out of nowhere, had 200 rushing yards and like 4 touchdowns in one game. Didn't do anything the whole rest of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Blount is more consistent and he's more favorable than the other running backs, but I still don't see him being that consistent running back for the Patriots. I feel like he may be there for 4 out of 6 games, but those other 2 games, he's going to give you no points at all.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, he's playing, what, the Jets twice, the Bills twice. And who am I thinking here?
Jets, Bills,
Dolphins. So, and I think you might have to pound the ball on these teams. And I think Blount is going to get most of the carries against those good defenses. And I think he's going to prove himself this year and have his best year of his career.
Well, I'm going to agree to disagree with you. And I'm going to give you a running back who's going 10 rounds later than Blount.
Who's
and
that?
Who's going to put up better numbers than him.
Who's
I'm going to tell you that right now is Reggie Bush.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Reggie Bush. And so he's currently...
2006 call. They want the running back back.
He's currently the 55th running back going off the board. And sure, he isn't the Bush he used to be, but even but he's in a great situation for a guy who is currently having 54 running backs go ahead of him. The supposed starter that's ahead of him is Carlos Hyde, and he's a huge question mark to me. He's a second-year player that isn't proven, And some say he'll be great, but last year when he ran the ball, he had a 4.0 yards per carry and only 400 yards. I mean, that's really not that great. I'm not buying it. His hands aren't the best, so Bush is already going to get third down work. And Bush is a vet who knows how to move the chains.
To me, that's all Bush is going to do is get the third down catches. He's just a pass back. I never really trusted Bush. He can't go between the tackles. He's too fragile. He's getting a little bit older. He probably lost even a small step by now. So, I don't know. I don't mind Carlos Hyde. I'll pick him up. And I think he's going a little early in the fourth round. But fifth, sixth round, I'll take Hyde. You have anything else on Bush? Why you like him?
Yeah, I like him because when he was in Miami, he did prove he could run between the tackles. And that's what got him his big contract with Detroit. And so I see him taking about 6 to 7 carries away from Hyde every game. And he's going to catch about 50 balls out of that backfield.
Yeah.
So I see him getting about 900 total offensive yards and about 6 total touchdowns.
How often was he on the field in Detroit, man? This guy gets hurt all the time.
That's true. If he gets hurt, then obviously he's not going to do what I'm telling you he's going to do. But I see him staying healthy with that less workload, not being that number one guy. He's going to be able to stay healthy. And that's definitely enough to catapult him past guys being drafted in the 8th and 9th rounds like Devontae Freeman, Trey Mason. Bush is going to finish in the top 35 of halfbacks, and that's going to be a sleeper in the last 3 rounds of your draft.
I see the guy maybe number 35 max, but hey, man, that's your sleeper. My sleeper, we already talked about him, Alfred Blue. We already talked about him, and we won't go into too much detail here, but I think he's going to be the first second down back and goal line back, even though their goal line looked horrible against the San Francisco 49ers. I think they'll fix that out. I think that Blue is going to be a great number two back.
Great number two. Oh, man. He might do that for about 6 weeks until Foster comes back.
Yeah. I obviously want to handcuff him with Foster later on if I can get Foster later on for sure.
Okay, yeah. If you can handcuff Blue with Foster, then that's not a bad backfield to have. I'll agree with you there. But if you just get Blue, then I don't see him doing that good for you because after about 6 weeks, you're going to drop him. He's going to be irrelevant. And I don't want to waste a pick on a guy who's going to be irrelevant halfway through the year. And so I'm not a big fan of Blue.
I'm not a big fan of the defenses in his division either. So those 6 weeks, though, you can get 6 wins maybe. Blue putting up some good points for you.
Oh, yeah. The Texans have the second easiest strength of schedule this season. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of opportunity there to get a lot of rushing yards and touchdowns every single game. But I just don't see Blue being that consistent guy.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go on to our receiver sleepers, and I will go first. Let me give you a guy who's very old and has been in the league for a while. So, you know, most people's sleepers are usually going to be these young guys who have a lot of potential, but I like the guys that really they had a bad year and they bounced back. And Larry Fitzgerald is going to be my guy.
Oh, wow.
Look what he was doing when Carson Palmer was there, right before he got hurt. He had some really good games at the beginning of the season. And I think Carson Palmer is back. I mean, he's 35 years old, but I think Carson Palmer is going to have a pretty good year. I almost put him as my sleeper QB. But I think Fitz is going to have a bounce back year. I'm looking at 1,100 yards and 8 to 9 touchdowns this year. I really think Fitz in... Carson Palmer going to finish what they started last year.
Okay. I can see Fitz having that bounce back season just because of Carson Palmer. If Palmer goes down, Fitz goes down. But if Palmer stays healthy, I can see Fitz getting 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I really can. And that's only because Michael Floyd and John Brown, they spread the field. And Fitz is the most sure-handed receiver on that team.
Yeah, he still has hands. He might be a little bit older and lost a step, but I have no doubt that this guy still has sick hands.
I can agree with you there. But my sleeper, well, you went with the old burner. I went with the young gun. And I'm going to tell you why. I went with Amari Cooper. And so this guy, he's currently the 23rd wideout going off the board. So, I mean, it's really not too much of a sleeper. I mean, this guy's going around 5 or 6. But, however, by season end, this guy's going to be close to the top in fantasy points at receiver. I mean, he's a rookie, but he's also the best all-around receiver to come out of the draft in years. He has excellent hands, excellent route running, which is all you need in the NFL to be relevant. but he also has a high-end speed and a knack for the end zone. This guy scored 16 touchdowns last year in Alabama.
This is in Alabama.
Yes, but he's also in a situation where he's going to be targeted a lot. I mean, in the preseason, the first game, he got targeted 4 times in the first drive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I see Cooper finishing the year with over 100 catches. Yes, oh, I said goodness. It. He's going to be Anquan Boldin rookie level, 100 catches. Look for about 7 catches a game, which will put him at about 110 catches this season. All those catches, he's bound to break some of those off for long touchdowns. I mean, come on. This guy and Julio Jones will lead the league in targets this season. Look for Cooper to supply you with wide receiver one numbers. About 12 to 1,300 yards and about 8 scores. That would make him a top 10 wideout. Put him above people such as Mike Evans and, yes, Randall Cobb. He's going to do better than Randall Cobb. Rookie of the year. Mark it.
Amari Cooper, rookie of the year. Okay. Well, first of all, he's in Oakland. So these guys, they are going to be down a lot of games. I see him getting a lot of targets, but I don't see him getting more than 100 catches. I can see him getting 140 targets and about 90 catches because I don't trust Derek Carr's arm to get all those passes right there. I like him in PPR. So right now he's going 31 in most leagues. I think that's probably a little early, but in PPR, I could see him in early 30s, the 30th receiver off the board. But round 4 is just way too early for Amari Cooper for me in a standard league. I don't trust him. And I think his ceiling in touchdowns, his max is going to be 5 touchdowns this year.
I disagree. Like I said, I love Cooper. If he's there, sitting there in the 4th round, pick him up. He will reap benefits for you. And so I'm telling you, pick him up in the 4th round. So moving on to my next wide receiver sleeper. Yes, I said earlier Eli Manning was my sleeper quarterback, so you know my sleeper wideout's going to be salsa dancing Victor Cruz.
I have him as my sleeper as well.
Yeah, this only makes sense. I mean, currently going in the 13th round and behind 50 other wideouts, Cruz will easily surpass his expectations. I mean, Cruz always did better when he had another solid wideout on the team. Hakeem Nicks, for example. Now he has Odell Beckham Jr. and a quarterback who loves throwing to Cruz. And so, sure, Cruz won't return to that 1,500-yard, 10-touchdown machine he was in 2011. But 1,000 yards and 8 scores isn't bad at all coming from the 13th round. Eli Manning's going to throw more touchdowns, and Beckham's going to get more attention. So look for Cruz to do some more salsa in this season. Cruz is going to finish top 30 at wideouts ahead of people. Eric Decker, Allen Robinson, Jeremy Maclin. He'll even beat out Brandon Marshall. Cruz is going to be a nice steal, and I'll look to get him in about round 9.
Yeah, Victor Cruz looks great. His health, as long as he's 100%, and he's saying he is, I think he's going to be a pretty good sleeper. Let's go ahead and move on to tight end. We're running out of time here. My sleeping tight end is Owen Daniels.
Owen Daniels.
Yes. He's in Kubiak's system. He's with Peyton Manning. I mean, how many people drafted Julius Thomas whenever it was his first year there?
That's true. But
nobody drafted him.
Owen Daniels is no Julius Thomas.
No one was even drafting Julius Thomas. Drafting Julius Thomas that year. And he catches, 3 of those 7 touchdowns on opening night. Everybody's picking up Julius Thomas. So I think Owen Daniels is getting drafted right now, but I think I'm taking him a little bit earlier than what he's normally going here. And let's take a look what his ADP is. Owen Daniels is going round 8, and I will gladly snatch him right before everybody in round 7. I think that, first of all, Kubiak loves the guy, and Peyton Manning always has a tight end that produces. Just think about it. What was it? Dallas Clark, was it? I believe, and Julius Thomas, they put up monster numbers for the tight end spot, and I think even though Owen Daniels is a little bit older and probably doesn't have the same speed as he did, you don't have to be the fastest guy in the field. You just got to be smart, and Owen Daniels is a smart guy, and he's going to have that QB system, and Kubiak loves to hit his tight ends, so, and Peyton does as well, so I think Owen Daniels is going to be a great sleeper.
Okay, I mean, I thought about it, and yeah, I'm done thinking about it. I don't believe Owen Daniels is going to be a good tight end this year. No. Sure, he has a good system and the best quarterback, but I think they're going to rotate the tight ends. Daniels too old. He doesn't have that every play capability anymore. But I'll tell you someone who does.
Everyone, wait, hold on. How old is Owen Daniels? Let's look that up. He's 32. Okay, that's kind of old. Older than I thought.
And if you count in NFL years, he's probably about 37.
No, he doesn't take hits all the time. I think he's going to be fine. You want to make a wager on it? Let's bet a pizza on that.
A pizza? Okay.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. We'll watch Monday Night Football. If Owen Daniels doesn't catch 800 yards. I'll go 800 yards. You think you'll catch 800 yards?
On Monday Night Football
alone? No, not one night. I'm talking about overall.
Overall? Yeah, we'll do that bet.
800 yards.
I can't believe I just got a pizza out of the deal. I'm excited.
I want a Supreme, too. No, I want Meat Lovers.
Okay, Meat Lovers. That sounds good. And you know who I'll share it with? This tight end sleeper that I have.
Who's that?
Everyone sing along with me. Rudolph the Red Zone tight end.
Get out of here.
We'll have a very good
Rudolph's
year.
Broke my heart like last three drafts.
Let me tell you, right, Rudolph the Red Zone tight end is going to have a good year.
Please tell me what's different this year.
He's a tight end who scores points based on touchdowns, which is why last year he fell off. This year he's going to be back because Bridgewater needs a security blanket, and with the backup tight end already getting hurt, Rudolph's going to be on the field a lot. He's a lock for targets, and AP is back, which means less eyes will be on Rudolph in the red zone, which means more touchdowns for Rudolph, the red zone tight end. So look for 8 to 10 touchdowns by him again this season, and to finish in the top 6, very surpassing his average draft position by like 150 spots. So I really believe Rudolph's going to be up there.
Rudolph, the guy who caught 300 yards and 3 touchdowns last year. He did only play, he had 200 yards last year and 2 touchdowns. He only played 7 games last year. The year before that, he only played 8 games. The year before that, he played 16, caught 9 touchdowns.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the dude hasn't had over 493 yards in 3 years.
Hey, I didn't say he's going to come out here and get 800 yards, but look for him to get 8 to 10 touchdowns. I'll take 8 to 10 touchdowns and 450 yards from the guy. That's still better than a lot of the tight ends, because after Gronk and Graham, there's really no one who's a security blanket who will get you numbers week in and week out. Rudolph.
I have Rudolph as my 15th tight end. I think he's going to get 580 yards, 5 touchdowns, maybe 6.
Look for Rudolph to finish in the top 6 in tight ends. Mark it.
Well, that's better. Hold on. How many?
How about we change that bet to Rudolph finishing higher than Owen Daniels?
Two bets.
Okay, 2 bets.
Wait, I think Owen Daniels, who's going to score more points?
Yeah, who's going to score more fantasy points?
Per game or for the whole season?
For the whole season.
Owen Daniels and Rudolph, okay. And we're throwing injuries. If Rudolph gets hurt, I still get the money.
Yeah, still get the money.
Oh, no, the pizza.
We don't pizza, bet, yeah. Can't bet money. Meat Lovers pizza.
All right, I'm going to be eating 2 Meat Lovers pizzas for the playoffs. All right, what about... Oh, now we have to start on our busts.
Oh, yeah.
The ones you need to stay away from. And we kind of have to run through this kind of quick. We're running out of time. My number one bust, well, obviously Cam Newton is an easy one, but I don't want to go there. We all know we lost Travis Benjamin. Jameis Winston.
Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know what's wrong with your first names tonight.
What did I call him?
Travis Benjamin.
Who's Travis Benjamin?
He's the receiver for the Browns.
Oh, goodness. All right. Okay, who did I say? Jameis Winston. Is that his first name, Jameis?
Yeah.
Okay, famous Jameis. That's right. All right, so Winston. I won't touch the guy. Won't touch him. Maybe in a deep 16-man, 4-point QB passing touchdowns, which I hate, by the way.
Man, you are harsh on that first overall pick.
I don't trust Winston. I don't want no part of him. He's too immature. I want a mature, grown-up being my starting cornerback, not a dumb kid who says ridiculously stupid things on microphones.
So I'm guessing he's no Andrew Luck.
Obviously not. But, yeah, I'm not touching the guy. I think he's going to bust. He might get, 7 to 8 rushing touchdowns. That's very possible. But he's going to have 12 passing touchdowns and probably 19 to 21 picks on the season. That's my ceiling for the guy.
All right, I don't think he's going to do that bad. That's pretty terrible with a 12-touchdown, 21-pick season. I'm going to go the opposite, about 20 to 25 passing touchdowns, because he has the Twin Towers. He can just throw it up there and get 1 to 2 passing touchdowns a game. And so I feel like he's going to get about 20 to 25 touchdowns. Yeah, he's going to probably throw about 16 to 20 interceptions. But, I'll take the guy in the last round of my draft. I'm not going to go out and reach for him.
We stronged in. I don't know. I question the guy's intelligence, too. We stronged in. But I want my QB to be the smartest guy in the field. not the guy who can't make a complete sentence. But okay.
Well, let's. My bust quarterback was obviously Cam Newton. This guy's going.
He went the easy route.
He's going anywhere between the fifth and eighth quarterback taken off the board. I'm going to stay away from the guy. That's pretty much all I'm going to say. We covered him earlier on in the beginning of the podcast. So I'm just going to go ahead and move on to my halfback bust.
Okay.
And this is one y'all need to pay attention to, because I'm telling you why he's going in the first round, and he is not going to give you first round stats. C.J. Anderson. The Bronco running back who was a sensation last year in the second half, he's not. There's going to be no new CJ 2K. It's not going to happen. Heck, he may not even be CJ 1K. Granted, CJ Anderson's in a great situation.
He's going eighth overall right now.
Yeah, he's going eighth overall, and I think that's ludicrous for a guy who came in and had half a good year with all his backup running backs injured. Monte Ball was hurt. Ronnie Hillman was hurt. Now they're healthy, and they're even doing better than him in the preseason and in camp right now. And so I do think CJ's in a great situation. Yes, I love the guru Gary Kubiak when it comes to running the ball. But Anderson is the only top nine halfback going who isn't proven and has been solid for multiple seasons.
What's Forsett going? 10?
Yeah, Forsett's about 10 or 11.
First of all, I have more faith in CJ Anderson than Justin Forsett. I think Justin Forsett is borderline bust. I can see his backup doing the same thing Forsett does. If Forsett has a bad game, his backup comes in, I can see Forsett losing his job. But that's another story. CJ Anderson, if you really think CJ Anderson's a bust, who are you taking him as his backup? Are you taking Ball? Are you taking, is it Hillman? Ronnie Hillman?
I'm staying away from both of them because I really don't know who's going to be the star by the end of the year out of them three. Because someone's going to, get plenty of touchdowns in that offense. Sure, it could be Anderson. He could end up with 10 touchdowns and some decent yard games. But for a top 10 pick, I want a sure thing. Yeah. I'm not sure if Anderson's a sure thing for a top 10 pick.
I wouldn't take him top 10 either. I'd rather go big time receiver there. I'd rather go Julio Jones, Dez Bryant for sure.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call him a complete bust. Somebody
in
that Broncos backfield is going to get a lot of carries. And C.J. Anderson proved himself that he can run block, which is extremely important for Peyton. And the dude can carry the load and catch passes.
Yeah. I'm not saying C.J. Anderson should not be drafted. I'm just saying he should not be a top 10 pick and a first-round pick. I'll take him back in second round. He'll still be a top 20 back in that offense, but more towards the 15th and 20th instead of top 10. So at the end of the season, you're going to be saying the same thing. You're going to be like, why did I waste a top 10 pick on C.J. Anderson?
Yeah, you don't want to mess up your top 10 picks. You can mess up your league. You can really mess up your league in your first round. You don't want to mess that up. You want to go safe in your first two or three rounds. So.
All right, let's move on. Who do you have as your sleeper running back? I mean bust running back.
My bust running back is Frank Gore. Yes, I said it. Yes, he's in a great offense. Yes, he's the number one there. But I'm going to call it right now. Frank Gore, finally runs out of tread on his tires this year. This is the year. He's going round three, which already is too early for me. I'd rather have Alfred Morris, who's going past him. I'd rather have Joseph Randall. I'd rather have Latavius Murray. I'd rather have Andre Ellington, Yeldon, Crowell. I'm not a fan.
So pretty much every running back aside from Gore.
I don't know about that. I don't think I would take Joy Bell.
Okay. Over him.
But anyway, yeah, I don't think Frank Gore. I think Frank Gore is finally going to run out of energy this year. He's getting old. He's what? How old is the guy now?
He's old. Yeah. I think he's 32, 33.
Frank Gore is 32 years old. He's had 258 carries, 276, 255 the last 3 years. I mean, the dude's been a machine.
I
know we say this every year. Well, not me, but most people say it every year. This is his year. I really think this is the year where he starts going down in yards. I don't think he's going to break 1,000 yards, and I don't think he's going to get more than 8 touchdowns. I can see him getting 6 touchdowns, 885 yards.
Well, I know Frank Gore's going to prove you wrong again this season. Like he does everyone, but I'm going to agree with you with the yards and the touchdowns. I believe Gore
Well, the dude's going way too early.
Third round. I wouldn't pick him in the third round, but I do believe Gore is going to be an efficient player this year, but he's not going to be a volume player. The Colts know he's running out of tread, and so they're going to limit his carries. They have viable backups and Heron, and so I believe they're going to limit his numbers. And so he may vulture some touchdowns, but I'm staying away from him in the third round.
Look, the guy went to Indy because the dude wants to win a championship. He was offered a lot of money other places, but he took Indy. I think the dude wants a championship. I think he's okay with not taking that many carries this year. I think he's going to save himself for a little bit for the playoffs. So I really think his carries are going to drop. Right now, he's going 16th overall running back. I think on my rankings, I have him around 24 to 23, right ahead of Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm going to stay away from Frank Gore. But the one Colt I am taking a chance on, Andre Johnson. Just throwing that out there, pick him up in your league. He's going to be that security blanket for
Andrew. Old man Johnson? Rowe.
Yep, old man Johnson. But who's not going to be a security blanket and who's going to be a bust at wide receiver is, I'll give you two right quick, run through them, Julian Edelman and Eric Decker. Edelman, he's not going to get that many targets again this season, especially with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing to him the first four games. He's not going to get catches. He's not going to get end zone looks. And so I do not like Edelman at all this season. Same with Decker. He has no quarterback throwing to him. Fitzmagic is going to not put any magic towards Decker. He'll trust in Marshall, not Decker. I don't see Decker doing anything like he did in his Broncos days. Look for more of the disappointing season just like he had last year.
Decker? Yeah, I'm not touching him. Edelman, though, I got to totally disagree. The first four games, you probably not going to get much out of the guy. But one of the guys who I almost put as a sleeper, Tom Brady. I know he's a four-time champion, and he just won. It's hard to put him as a sleeper, per se. But first of all, I think his suspension is going to be zero. He's not going to miss any games. And I think he's going to be extremely mad at the NFL. And he's going to take it out, and he's going to go scorch earth on the entire NFL, him and Belichick, like they did that year they got to Spygate and lost the first-round pick. So going for it on fourth down, throwing the ball in the fourth quarter when they have a high lead. I could see Brady throwing between 35 to 40 touchdowns this year, having a really good year.
Oh, wow.
I think Edelman is still going to have another good year. That's his go-to guy. So I have to disagree with Edelman, but Jeremy Maclin is my number one receiver bust.
Okay.
He's in Kansas City with noodle arm Alex Smith. The guy barely throws the ball over 15 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he can. He just chooses not to. He's check down Charlie. And Maclin, he's all about the big-time yards. I don't have the stats in front of me, but most of his catches or a big percentage of them where he gets most of his points are over 20-yard gains and 40-yard gains. So don't look for Maclin to have a great year at all.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Maclin, he may catch a screen and take it all the way once out of the whole season. But, yeah, I don't see this guy putting up the numbers where he's going at right now currently in draft. So I'm going to stay away from Maclin, too. He just landed in a bad situation for me. And remember, guys, if you have any questions throughout the show or if you want to send us an email on who you should pick in the draft or who you should start, stuff like that. Remember, we have an email address. Email
FanDuel,
us.
We help you at FanDuel or DraftKings as well.
Any daily fantasy leagues, we'll help you with that. So just email us at fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com. fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com or tweet us @_fantasycoaches on Twitter.
We'll answer every single one.
Yes, and so moving on to our last bust for the episode, the tight ends.
All right, let me go first here. I'm excited about my bust.
Okay.
Julius Thomas, Jacksonville. I don't want any part of Julius Thomas. I don't really want any part of Jacksonville's offense. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely. Julius Thomas has a big no written on him for
big
me.
Injury risk as well?
He's already hurt. He's out for the whole preseason. He fractured his hand. I mean, come on, how fragile can you be? And so I'm staying away from Thomas. Bortles is improving. I like the direction the Jacksonville offense is going. They got him a security blanket. Allen Robinson stepping up. TJ Yeldon could be an every down back.
Yeldon's the only guy I would draft in entire Jacksonville's offense.
I like the direction of their offense. This year I'm staying away from the whole offense, but I feel maybe 2-3 years from now they could be something to keep an eye on. So
who's your quarterback? Blake Bortles?
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, no thank you.
He's taking a step forward. But for me, it's going to be the third tight end going off the board, Travis Kelce. I'm not a big fan of him because noodle arm Smith, but also, I mean, he's not really, he has moves. He has moves. He has hands. He can catch the ball. But I don't like the offense he's in, especially for the third tight end going off the board. I don't see him putting up more than 60 catches or even 50. I don't see him putting up more than 4 or 5 touchdowns. And I don't – he may get yards. He may get about 600-700 yards. But I don't see him being that number three tight end. I wouldn't pick him that high up. I'd wait and pick him because I see him finishing about the number like 7-8 tight end.
Well, he had 67 catches last year, 800-plus yards and 5 touchdowns. I like him. I don't like – where he's going, how early, when I was doing mock drafts earlier in the summer, he wasn't going that low, but now the Kelce hype is like really hit max, and he's going, what, I think third round. No, fifth round.
Fifth round.
Fifth round. A little too early for me. I'd rather wait on another tight end. I actually like Martellus Bennett better now that White's got hurt over
there.
As do I. So I think he's going to get a lot of Cutler's looks. Him and Alshon Jeffrey. So, he's going a little too early for me.
Yeah, but I agree with you there. He's just going too early for that to invest in that high of a pick. And so that's going to be it for our sleepers and busts section of the show.
Let's go to our mailbag again. You can email us at fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com or you can tweet us at _fantasycoaches. And let's go into our mailbag right now. 12-team PPR, who to keep? Marshawn Lynch with the second round, Emmanuel Sanders with the fourth, or Cooks with an eighth. Who are you going to keep there? I think when he said second, fourth, and eighth, if you keep him, you lose that draft pick. So you can lose Lynch with a second round pick, Emmanuel Sanders with a fourth, or Cooks with an eighth. Who are you going to keep?
I'm taking Cooks, definitely. You said PPR, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely taking Cooks and losing that eighth round pick. Cooks is in a PPR league. Is going to be a top 15 wideout. I love that he's pretty much the number one guy now in New Orleans offense. Drew Brees is going to put up numbers, and Cooks is going to be the beneficiary of that. And so I'm taking Cooks all the way with the eighth round pick right there.
Okay, yeah, for me, in a PPR, I'm going to go Cooks for that value eighth. Now, Lynch is kind of want to take Lynch, but if it's PPR, I'm going to go with Cooks in the eighth. Let's go ahead and move on to our next email here. Again, you can email us at fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com. Drafting third overall in a team dynasty league, who do I pick?
Okay.
I guess he didn't really specify
who's there.
I guess first year overall dynasty league.
Okay, so first year, third overall pick.
Who would you go with? You got a lot of names. You have Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell. They'd probably go 1 and 2, I would think. Maybe Jeremy Hill there. Do you go QB?
I go QB.
Do you go receiver?
For me personally, I'm going Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers if they're there.
If it's a 6-point touchdown league. Yes, I would probably. I'm thinking I'll go one of them. You get your years out of them. You can get 10, 12 years out of them for sure. I don't like to go in a full dynasty league where you're keeping them forever. I don't like to go running back right there that early. I'd probably go Odell Beckham or Julio Jones. You know, he's a little bit, maybe Mike Evans. But Andrew Luck would probably be my third.
Yeah, Andrew Luck for sure.
Andrew Luck or Odell Beckham.
What else do we have in the mailbag?
All right, got a trade question here.
Okay.
Should I trade Melvin Gordon and Golden Tate for his A.J. Green and T.J. Yeldon?
Okay, A.J. Green, T.J. Yeldon for Melvin Gordon and Golden Tate. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say if you have A.J. Green and T.J. Yeldon, hang on to them. And I'm going to tell you why. A.J. Green was a top five receiver two years in a row. Until last year. And this guy was still a top 30 wideout, and he missed 5 games, and he still managed to beat out 20 or still managed to be in the top 30 of wideout. So I'm keeping AJ Green. He's a stud. TJ Yeldon and Melvin Gordon are both rookies, so they're both going to be starters. So I mean, you can't really guess on that. I'm not a big fan of Melvin Gordon. He's too indecisive. And he loses a lot of yards in the backfield. So I'm not a big fan on Yeldon either, but I'm a huge fan of Green over Golden Tate. So I'm keeping Green and Yeldon.
Okay. I'm going to take K keep AJ Green and TJ Yeldon as well. I'm not a fan of Golden Tate, especially Calvin Johnson. Probably, I think he's going to be healthy this entire year. Let's go to one more email. Okay, and this guy says here, yes, my league rewards defenses with a lot of points. He doesn't really specify what, but he wants to know when and where should he draft and what will be the best defense this year. So if his defense is putting up a lot of points, apparently you didn't really specify. Where would you draft a defense if they're putting up, let's just say, receiver two numbers?
If they're putting up receiver two numbers, so probably about 10, 11 points a game, maybe nine points a game, I'm going to draft them pretty high.
Who's your number one defense this year?
My number one defense this year? Let's go with none other than, I'm going to go the Rex Ryan's Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And this is why. They led the league in sacks last year. They're studs. They have Rex Ryan with his mini blitz schemes now, and so the sack total is still going to be there. They have plenty of playmakers who, if you pick it off, they can take it all the way back.
And fighters, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I really like the Bills' defense, and that offense that they have, they're going to pound the rock and keep the ball in their possession. So they're going to – the defense isn't going to be on the field that long.
No.
And so I see them being, you know, the top defense of the year.
I totally agree, man. Listen, Seattle's going round eight too early. I think they're going to be good again, but they're going a little early. The Bills, you can get two rounds later, and I think they're actually going to outperform the Seahawks, especially I haven't checked the schedule. I don't have it on top of me right now. But if the Bills play New England early, ooh, man, they're going to tear that quarterback up, the backup.
Yeah, they do play him actually week two, and so that's going to be a
good – if Brady doesn't play. You know, we still don't know about that. Okay, so Bills, what's your next defense? Is it the Cardinals, Patriots, Chiefs, Texans? Who do you like?
I'm going to go Texans.
Eagles, a lot of people are high in the Eagles.
I'm going to go the Houston Texans.
And Texans.
That's because they
That's not because that's your favorite team, is it?
No, not at all.
And that we live in Houston.
Not at all. It's because they have an easy schedule, and they play the Titans and Jaguars offenses twice a year. And so, sure, the Colts are going to deflate their numbers a little bit, but they play. They have an easy schedule. They have an excellent coordinator in Romeo Crennel. They're going to get a lot of sacks this season with a revamped Clowney and a Vince Wilfork to stop the run. I really see them get pressuring the ball, making turnovers, and taking it for six. I love the Texans' defense this year, but not more than the Bills.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have here. Remember, you can tweet us at _fantasycoaches, and you can email us at fantasyfootballcoaches@yahoo.com. And when you email us, we're going to send you our list of QBs, running backs, receivers, tight ends, kickers, defenses, and IDP.
Yes.
Rankings.
Defensive player rankings.
We will get an email to you.
So hurry up and email us before your draft, because you're going to want these rankings before your draft.
Get your questions in. We will read them on air. Next week.
Next week, yeah. Next week we have a show for you. We're going to be on twice, and we're going to talk about draft strategy, and also we're going to go over specifically our quarterback rankings, our top 20 quarterbacks, our top 20 running backs, and our top 20 wideouts next week. So stay tuned for all that. You're not going to want to miss it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Remember, shoot us an email, shoot us a tweet, and we'll respond as fast as we can.
Coach Dylan signing off.
Coach Skiles, y'all have a good one.